All right, I'm gonna mute you guys so nobody interrupts me. You can always unmute yourself if you've got something, you know, pressing on your heart. You've got to speak up right away. That's okay. I'm fine with that. All right. Yeah, let me get you on here. So I'm going to be continuing the messages on the Holy Spirit, and I know at the beginning of the year I felt like this is something that I need to be carrying on with, and I'm not going to relent from it because we're going to continue to speak about the Holy Spirit, and there's so many different aspects of the Holy Spirit. Really, the first message that we talked about was maybe there's something missing in your walk with God that you just didn't feel full and feel led and feel, you know, that connection with God that you so much want. And I made a statement that says that, you know, you really can't be a Christian without the Holy Spirit. So that might be part of what you're missing in your walk. And this message today is going to be about the involvement, or how involved the Holy Spirit is in your relationship with God the Father. That it's going to come right down to the fact, and I'll just say it right now, that you can't have a relationship with the Father without the Holy Spirit. And that's why I say you can't be a Christian. The Holy Spirit is an integral part of your walk with God. And if that is if you feel as though you're missing something, then it must be, in my mind, that you know, allowing the Holy Spirit to work in you. And sometimes we tend to resist the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we tend to let it, you know, we've got things covered, God, so don't worry about it. And you don't consult the Holy Spirit. And usually what happens is things run amok. And then we try something to fix it, and we try something else to fix it. Eventually we come back to God and just say, God, I'm at my bottom. I'm down in the lowest section that I have. I need your help. Well, who's there to help us but the Holy Spirit? And if we had just called upon the Holy Spirit in the beginning, that it would just have been, you know, so much freer and liberating, and being able to be within God's, his aim and his goal, his will. And that's what we really need to do. And I think as Christians, you know, we tend to develop so that we listen to the Holy Spirit a little closer, because two things, you know, we look for his direction, because we know without his direction we've got some problems, and we kind of run aimlessly. And we also listen to his prodding, in the sense that there's times that he directs us in one place or another. We tend to listen a little easier because we just know that we want to be pleasing God. So let me start with a prayer, and then we'll start right in. I have a lot of scripture we're going to be going through today, but it's just to point out, it's not to take the scripture and digest it. It's to give you a culmination experience of how important the Holy Spirit is in our walk with God. So Father, when we are speaking about the Holy Spirit and sharing scripture about the Holy Spirit, I pray for your knowledge and your connection that relates us to you, and the connection that relates us to Jesus Christ, and your connection that relates us to the Holy Spirit. It just blossoms and just fills up, and we tend to realize, we're going to realize, that how important the Holy Spirit is in our lives. It's many places, you know, the church is being held, and there's no mention of the Holy Spirit. That's not true in terms of what church is. Church is all about God the Father, all about God the Son, and all about God the Holy Spirit. So during this message, Lord, just put it on our hearts what it is that you want us to do, and may it be a grounding, a base in which to continue our walk and build upon it so that we become that true child, the one that wants everything to do with God, and be willing to give up ourselves to be able to have God. This we pray through your Son, Jesus. Amen. You know, it sometimes fascinates me how we can justify things in our lives. There are some religious sects out there that will believe in God the Father, and they believe even in Jesus Christ. But there's sometimes no mention of the Holy Spirit at all. And it always kind of confuses me, because the Holy Spirit is mentioned like so much in the New Testament. In fact, every scripture I'm going to be sharing today is all New Testament. And sometimes there's a wrong conception out there that the Holy Spirit isn't God, but just like a force, or you know, a ray from God the Father, that if you're in that ray, or if that force happens to hit you, then you know part of God is with you. And I'm kind of here to tell you that that's not true from what I understand with Scripture, that the Holy Spirit is God, and the Holy Spirit is a person. And though we may not be able to see the Holy Spirit, the Scripture mentions that it's more like how the wind moves, and it's the effect and the to see the work of the Holy Spirit more so than to be able to see the Holy Spirit itself. It's not for us to say, you know, get a visual of what the Holy Spirit is. But I think what's important with the Holy Spirit is to know that the Holy Spirit is God, and that the Holy Spirit resides in Christians. We are the temple, and that is where God lives, is in the temple. Not one not made by human hands anymore, like the temple, the Ark of the Temple, or was the Ark of the Covenant. That was God's dwelling place, but God's dwelling place is now with us. And we have God the Father, and we have Jesus Christ seated next to him in heaven, and we have the Holy Spirit with us. So I'm going to look at some scriptures, and just the very first one we're going to be looking at is John 16, 7 through 15. And we're going to be repeating this one an awful lot as we look at the Holy Spirit, because I feel like it's important for us to get to the conception that God has a plan. Jesus Christ came and died for our sins so that he could make a way for God, for Emmanuel, right? God with us, to literally be with us and to live in us. The sin in our heart had to be taken care of, and the only way that could have been done was through the death on the cross by God himself. Okay, so let's look at this first scripture that we've got. And it says, "But I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go..." I have to change the screen here. "Unless I go away, the Counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin, and righteousness, and judgment. In regard to sin, because men do not believe in me. In regard to righteousness, because I am going to the Father, where you can see me no longer. And in regard to judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned." I like this in the beginning, verse 7 and 8, where it says, "He will convict you," right? He will come. It's not "it will come." That the Holy Spirit is a person, not an it. As we continue with this scripture, he says, "I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you." So already we're getting this concept again. As Jesus came and to do his the will of the Father by coming and dying on the cross for our sin, we're not left alone. We're not just like, you know, some huge evangelist coming into town and causing all the big ruckus and getting people to, you know, come to Christianity, and then that evangelist just leaving the next day and doing the same thing in another town. Then you're left with nothing. But there needs to be, you know, a guiding, a training that goes along so that we know to be able to hear the Holy Spirit. And so Jesus is giving that very example of as what we should do is we should still continue to guide individuals as they come to know the Lord. But he's giving us the Holy Spirit. Now look what he says. He says he will not speak on his own, but he will speak only what he hears. And that is really important because, again, the Holy Spirit is not an independent asset of God, but it is God himself. It's part of the three in one, part of the Trinity. And it's mentioned here again in John 16:13, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, but he will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. So his words that he has for us comes from the Father. But I'm going to tell you, I've heard this before in Scripture, and I'm going to show you that we go back in John 12, we're going to hear the same thing, but in reference to Jesus. In John 12:49-50, for I, Jesus, this is Jesus speaking, did not speak of my own accord, but the Father who sent me commanded me what to say and how to say it. I know that his command leads to eternal life. So whatever I say is just what the Father has told me to say. And it's the same thing with the Holy Spirit. It just goes to show how there's a unity within, the Godhead of God, that it's all about coming together and realizing that the Holy Spirit isn't just, if we can call it an offshoot of God. The Holy Spirit is God. And it's the same commands that Jesus has been given, that he only speaks what God the Father tells him to do. The Holy Spirit does exactly the same. Now, I'm going to give you a scripture in Acts where it talks about the new church that's developing and people are giving their gifts to the church to be used in areas where there's, you know, it's the monies are needed to help those that, you know, have less than what the other ones do. And there's this individual, Ananias, who lied to the church in the essence that he sold his property, and he says that he gave all of his proceeds to the church, and in effect, really, he didn't give all of it to the church. But I want you to look at this, where he refers to the Holy Spirit, lying to the Holy Spirit, and then he also refers to lying to God. So in Acts chapter 5, verses 3-4, it says, then Peter said, Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept for yourself some of the money you received for the land? Didn't it belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? What made you think of doing such a thing? You have not lied to men, but to God. So if we take verse 3, that you have lied to the Holy Spirit, and verse 4, where you have lied to God. And the connection is that the Holy Spirit is God. And to think that we can have a Christian experience without the Holy Spirit, it's impossible to do that. And you're going to look at Scripture in terms of how the Holy Spirit moves in us and his involvement within our walk with God is so robust and so full that we tend to just pass over the experience of having the Holy Spirit because we kind of compartmentalize. And maybe I'm thinking at it from a guy's perspective, but you know, we have these little compartments that we put things, and we can put God into this little compartment, we can put Jesus into this other compartment, and then we put the Holy Spirit into this other compartment, and then we have all these other compartments that maybe there is no God in there. Well, I'm going to show you some scripture where the Holy Spirit is an integral part of every little compartment you have, whether you want him to be there or not. It's like, if you just let him in, if you just let him do his thing, somehow it just seems like it's going to be so much more, such a more fulfilling life. It may be, not be the life that we had anticipated, but I tell you, it will be more fulfilling as we get through. So let's look at the how we can see the works of the Holy Spirit. We may not be able to see the Holy Spirit, but say we see the works of it. You know, when the wind blows, you can see, you know, the trees rustle in the wind. When the wind blows, you can see, you know, it gives us direction in the sense there's certain weeds that have tassels on the top. And if the wind is always coming from the west, all the tassels seem to be falling towards the east. And if you're lost in a direction, you're not sure where to go, there's things that you can do and to see the effects of what the wind has done so that you can have that direction. It's the same thing with the Holy Spirit. In John 15:26, it says, "When the Counselor comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who goes out from the Father, that he will testify about me." So if you want to know who Jesus is and who Jesus is truthfully, that it's the Holy Spirit that will testify. So, again, how does just a force testify? This is an actual essence of God that testifies about who Jesus is. And if we have doubt of who Jesus is, all we need to do is ask the Holy Spirit for clarity. What is the truth that's out there? And then we just have to sit back and listen and be able to hear his voice, because it's so, so important. So if he can testify about Jesus, and really that's the what I have found is that the we have like God the Father, which is kind of like what we would call the architect of the design of life, if you want to call it that. And then we have Jesus Christ, who is the executor, you know, that speaks the word. And then we have the Holy Spirit, who enables everything to be able to happen. And that's the connection that we have within that Trinity. But the Holy Spirit never really seems to speak much of himself at all. But he directs us always to Jesus Christ. And so you're going to see that in Scripture as we go along. So let's look at the next one here. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10. "But God has revealed it to us by his Spirit." That if you need to know truth, it comes through the Spirit. And if we deny the Spirit or never even bring up the Holy Spirit, how then can we get revelation from God if we don't acknowledge the Holy Spirit in our walk? In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 11, "All these are the work of one and the same Spirit. He gives them to each one just as he determines. And we're talking about the gifts of the Spirit, that the Holy Spirit decides which gifts should be passed out. And I'm certain, you know, we want certain gifts. We want to be able to have some of those. I was talking with someone recently, you know, about certain gifts and everything. And it's like there's times that, you know, we are denied gifts. But it's because the Holy Spirit determines these sort of things. And he gives them out as they are needed. Maybe there's a point where in our lives we will need something from God. And it'd be at that point that God will give it to us. Why? Because we have faith that God will provide for us. That when he gives us direction and tells us to do something, that there will be things that will just come in and give us either the gifts of the Spirit or the needs that we need to have. But the Holy Spirit provides those things for us. And if we did, again, if we deny the Holy Spirit, then how are we to receive those gifts? It would be impossible to do that. In the year where the Holy Spirit speaks and directs people in Acts 13:2, he says, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work which I have called them. Here's an auditory point where the Holy Spirit spoke to these group of individuals in their time of worship, and they were fasting, which means that they were really seeking the guidance of God. And who came but the Holy Spirit? And the Holy Spirit very clearly explained to them what they should be doing. So the Holy Spirit will direct, again, give guidance. And Romans 15:15 through 6, this is an excellent scripture. I've got a couple of them that reference to this, and it's about the sanctifying that comes from that the Holy Spirit sanctifies us. Sanctifying is, it's kind of like a lifelong works where we are becoming more and more Christ-like, but it's also a setting us apart. And it means setting us apart from the world, because our home is no longer in this world. Our home is with God in that spiritual realm in the heavens. And he says, I have written you quite boldly on some points. This is Paul speaking. So as if to remind you of them again, because of the grace God gave me to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles, with the priestly duty of proclaiming the gospel of God, so that the Gentiles might become an offering acceptable to God, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Again, we've got God the Father mentioned here, we've got Jesus Christ, and we've got the Holy Spirit mentioned here, and each having a role in our walk with God, and that it's the sanctifying, the setting apart, and the guidance that we get comes from the Holy Spirit. Here it is again in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. But we ought always to thank God for you, brothers, loved by the Lord, because from the beginning God chose you to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Spirit and through belief in the truth. Right? Jesus is the truth, the life, and the way. And the only way we can get to the Father is through Him. And the Spirit directs us, gives us that ability to be able to hone in on Jesus. And it's through the work of the Holy Spirit that our walk is continually being blessed and being fuller and fuller day after day, as long as we allow the Holy Spirit to work in us. And it sounds easy. And it sounds like this is like, oh yeah, okay, I can understand that. But now put it to action, all right? Because there's things that happen when the Holy Spirit comes. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and 11, it says, and that is what some of you were, in terms of some of the old ways, the pagan ways, the ungodly lifestyles. But then look at this. He says, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. There is a connection here that the sanctification and the justification from Christ could only happen through the Spirit as well as Him and God the Father. That there's such a connection between the three of them that they work in this harmony, that if we, for some reason, exclude one of them within our walk, then we don't have God anymore. In fact, we're dead. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 6, he says, He has made us competent as ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. And I'm wondering that if you're feeling down, if you're feeling stretched out, if you're feeling like, you know, there's just no point in going on any farther, You have but one thing to do, is let the Spirit in. Because according to this scripture, not only does the Spirit testify about Jesus, does it reveal the truths to us, does He give us gifts, does He speak to us and give us direction, does He sanctify us, wash us, justify us, He gives us life. And that life is not like the life that we're talking about in this world, where it's like, oh, I'm going to have some riches, I'm going to, and I guess somebody just won the, was it some lottery thing, was it Mega Millions, and they, like $1 billion that they won? That's not the type of life that we're talking about. We're talking about an eternal life. We're talking about a life of goodness and holiness, of righteousness, that we need to let the Spirit in order to have that life. Because sometimes we don't know how to even talk about that. But in Galatians 4, 6 through 7, it says, because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts. The Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. Right? This is this God that prays for us when we don't know how to pray. It's not that He just calls out. He cries out to us. If you look at the King James Version, is that He cries out, Abba, Father. And that there's an emotion that comes from the Spirit for us. Right? God is not going to leave us alone. And this is you know, the role of the Holy Spirit in our walk, is because when the Holy Spirit comes in, we are not the same. There's something about having God in us and starting to live that righteous life. And it's one that sometimes we struggle with, you know, because we want to have this. Fern has always said this, it's stuck in my head. We have one foot in the world and we have one foot in God. That's not the way God has intended it to be. That we are to have both feet in God. Because when that happens, then something happens. And like in Galatians 5:18, but it says, if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Right? So He leads us. And from that leading, there comes a change in Romans 8:13 through 14. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. I'm going to say this again. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, you don't have God. Because you're just walking around aimlessly. You're taking a little bit of good from here, a little bit of good to here, and you're calling yourself a Christian. A Christian is one who's led by the Spirit. And that, as it says, if it's by the Spirit, you're putting to death the misdeeds of the body, your mistakes, the bad things that you're doing, the ungodly things. Those things that you know do not bring glory to God, the Holy Spirit puts it to death. It kills it, wipes it out. To try to do that on our own is impossible. And I like that. So let's look at verse 16, Romans 8. And it says that the Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. So how do we know we're a Christian? Because we have the Spirit. Just as simple as that. And it's like, then we don't have to have doubt. Well, I don't know if God is going to accept me. I don't know if I can, you know, and do this. You're right. You can't. And you aren't without the Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, we are nothing. He really, really does an awful lot for us. In Romans 8:26, he says, in the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness, that which we can't do, there's just impossible for us to do things, right? He says, we do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. Sometimes we are hurt so much, sometimes we're put into a corner that we have no way to go. And I really liked what Tom was saying, you know, chose the song, and God Will Make a Way. I've said this before, I really like that song because I feel like there is no way, but God will make a way, and we need to be able to hear what God has for us. Now, the way that he has for me may be a slightly different way than the way he has for you, and we need to be attentive to that aspect of it. As Ron was talking about, you know, some of the gifts that poured out, and that, you know, his gift might be, you know, be in the ministry to work over with Jane and Kenya and other parts of Africa. That may not be ours, but we're still going to be doing God's will. And sometimes we don't know how to do that. And sometimes we don't even know how to ask God for help. The Holy Spirit will do it for us. And if you feel like you're lacking in that relationship with God because you just can't hear from God, allow the Holy Spirit to pray for you. Don't be so proud that you can't just sit down and be quiet and say, God, I don't know what to do. Allow the Holy Spirit. I think Mary Beth mentioned that. It's kind of what hit me when she did her talk about healing prayers, was that a lot of times we pray over an individual. But one of the steps that she had that really stuck in my mind was that we were to pray, now release the Holy Spirit to do his work. We've kind of spoken what we want to be done. Now it's no longer about us. It's about God doing the things that's supposed to. So maybe we need to stop trying to be Christian and just allowing God to let us be Christian in the things that we have. Because we are weak. And we can give us strength. In Galatians 5:17, he says, for the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. And how difficult that is, right? The Holy Spirit desires holiness. The Holy Spirit desires righteousness. The Holy Spirit desires purity. And if the Holy Spirit is inside of us, that's going to be burning. All those godly commands are going to be right on the tips of my tongue. They're going to be right on the tips of my fingers. They're going to be right on the tips of my toes, drawing me to whatever it is I need to do, because the Holy Spirit is alive and welcome in this house of God, which is my body. And we have these struggles, and we have these events that happen in our lives and things that happen, and we're always pulled, well, this is the easy way to go. This is the, a way that we can, you know, just get out of something. And as Tom was, you know, talking about abortion, and, you know, it's just something that makes life easier for us. It's an easy way out of caring for a child. Let's just remove this child so that it doesn't cost me anything later on down the road. It doesn't cost me time. It doesn't cost me food. It doesn't cost me diapers. It doesn't cost me, my time. And sometimes we look at that, but it was that, you know, that a form of abortion is, you know, we've got something that's now legal. We'll call that legal because of our world. But even back in the Old Testament, you know, there were pagan religions that, you know, they would sacrifice their own children to these false deities in hopes that their life was going to be better, a more fruitful crop. Well, it would be more fruitful. If you don't have to feed more mouths in your house, you've got more for yourself. And the sad part about this is that the Jews themselves started sacrificing their own children. And how God was frustrated with that. So there are struggles that are out there. But when we have the Spirit, right? The Spirit is, you know, the nature is a godly spirit. In Ephesians 3:16 through 17, he says, I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. We're talking here, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, all working together for us, working in unity, that we have the strength to be able to do, not by our own works, but by allowing God to work in us. Oh, and how much of a struggle that must be, that sometimes, you know, the Holy Spirit, I can see him. He's screaming at us sometimes. And yet we can continue to grieve the Holy Spirit. In Ephesians 4:30, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit, with whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. How do we grieve the Holy Spirit? Deny the Holy Spirit and the things that he's saying to us. God, it's impossible for me to go over to that next door neighbor who has forever done something to me and be friends with them or take an opportunity to pray with them. That's impossible, God. That will never happen. Well, with God, all things are possible for him, for those who believe in him. And so when we look at this, that, you know, it's possible that we can grieve him. Well, it's almost like you're upsetting someone in the household. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16, don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit lives in you? It's almost like walking in a house here with Hope and I, and I'm mad at Hope, and I wouldn't speak to her. I just completely ignore her. And yet she's walking through the house, she's doing things in the house, and yet I never acknowledge who she is because I'm punishing her. And I'm like, we do this with God sometimes. And it's like, you know, that how is it possible that he can be in us and we can just completely ignore him? But you see, the Holy Spirit wants nothing more than for us to be with God the Father. And he participates in our walk. But it doesn't end there. He also participates in what we would call the resurrection of our bodies. In Romans 8:11, and if the Spirit of whom who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you. That the Holy Spirit is part of that resurrection that we will have in that time where we're brought up into glory with God the Father. That, can you imagine the rejoicing of all those angels? It's like, there's another one that's come up here. And everything is just so full. And it's that type of anticipated joy, that type of celebration, that lives in us today, regardless of the things that's going on in us. And how do I know that? Scripture says it in 1 Thessalonians 1:6. He says, you became imitators of us and of the Lord in spite of severe suffering. You welcome the message with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit knows what we're to come to in that resurrection. And this is why we as Christians, we have this inexplicable joy and happiness that comes even when we're going through suffering, because we know the end result. And the Holy Spirit gives us the strength to be able to carry on and to go through. So if we are living a Christian life and ignoring or forgetting about the Holy Spirit, where do we get the joy from? We're going to be walking around with, depressed faces. Oh, I'm a Christian today. Yeah. It's like, what is that? What does that mean? You should be, you know, jumping for joy that I am a Christian and there's nothing that can stop you. We live in a country where we can share that stuff, and yet we hold back on it so much. Because not only does the Holy Spirit give us this joy, but he also gives us the hope to continue on through the struggles. In Romans 8:15-13 says, may the God of hope fill you with all the joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Where does our joy come from? Where does our hope come from? Right? It comes from the Holy Spirit. And if you're feeling down, if you're feeling, you know, depressed, if you're feeling like the world is overtaking you, I've got one answer for you. Allow the Holy Spirit to come in. Because I'm telling you right now that your Christian walk, it has an integral part with God the Father. And it has just an integral part with God the Son. And it has just an integral part with God the Holy Spirit. And you can't ignore one and put all your emphasis on the other, because they all come together. They are there. And think about this. It's like, if we ignore God, what are we doing but putting out the fire? In 1 Thessalonians 5, 19 through 22, Paul's saying, do not put out the fires, the Spirit's fire. Do not treat prophecy with contempt. Test everything. Hold on to the good. Avoid every kind of evil. Right? There's work for us to do. And if we're just going by the flow of what the world tells us to do, then we're not going to be in that harmony with the Holy Spirit and stuff. And the Holy Spirit will not be able to work within us because we're not allowing Him to. We need to let the Spirit and ask Him to lead us, to testify for us, to give us life, to cry out for us, to lead us, to invoke that change in us, to confirm our relationship with God. We have to allow Him to do that. But if we hang on to false prophecy because it tickles our ears, and that's the type of stuff that we want to hear, then we're never going to be able to hear what God has for us. We need to be opened up. Because just as anything, like in Acts 15, 28 through 29, there's an agreement that comes with this. So let's look at this. It says, it seems good to the Holy Spirit and to us not to burden you with anything beyond the following requirements. You are to abstain from food sacrificed to idols, from blood, from the meat of strangled animals, and from sexual immorality. You will do well to avoid these things. Why? Because look at the very beginning. It seems good to the Holy Spirit and to us. Right? So there's this agreement that the Holy Spirit is confirming, you know, our decisions. And we have that within the depths of our souls, that we just know that this is what God wants us to do. And in this case here, dealing with new Christians that the Holy Spirit's been poured out on, and they don't have all of the history of the Jewish, you know, the Jewish history and all the traditions that come with it. What's important is the circumcision of their hearts. And what they need to do is to abstain from certain things. Right? Forget about those false idols. Forget about some of those ritual sacrifices and the foods that you eat. And keep yourself morally clean. Right? Because then you'll be able to allow the Holy Spirit to work inside you. And this is a hard verse here. And it's like, you know, why is this put in Scripture, in the hardness that, in the harshness that comes with it too? Matthew 12:31 talks about blaspheming the Holy Spirit. He says, so then I tell you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven. Right, which is, that's God, Christ has died for all of our sin. But listen to this. But the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. The complete denial of who the Holy Spirit is blasphemy. And to deny the Holy Spirit sounds like we would be denied. Because of the Godhead, you know, the three in one, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. To deny any one of those is a rejection of God. And the Holy Spirit is, I don't say a tender part, because I see the Holy Spirit as the tender part of God, but I also see Him as very strong and, just a warrior in a way too. But there's a certain gentleness about the Holy Spirit. And to speak ill of the Holy Spirit is hard in the eyes of God. So we need to know that it is God. And let's look at in Hebrews 10:29, speaking about what we can do with the Holy Spirit and things that are not right. But how much more severely do you think a man deserves to be punished who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, who has treated as an unholy thing the blood of the covenant that sanctified him, and who has insulted the Spirit of grace? That rejection of God in any form and manner seriously leads us down to that road to hell. And God wants nothing more than for Him to be our God and for us to be His children. You know, I like this in Titus. It talks about this, you know, the Spirit being poured out for us, and so that we are not the same as what we were before knowing God. And it's just such a blessing to be that when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, the Holy, and we can't even really do that without the Holy Spirit, but once we do and we make that proclamation in our hearts and to others and stuff, then God can really start moving. Because in Titus 3, 4 through 7 says this, but when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of the righteous things that we had done, but because of his mercy. Right? And mercy is not receiving the penalty that we should receive. It says he saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal, by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. Now remember, when I go back to the very first scripture that we looked at in John 16, 7 through 15, right? It is good that Christ is going away from us so that he can send the Holy Spirit. And we're bringing this whole aspect together, is that there is a purpose for what things that God has done. So that through the Holy Spirit, that we can have a rebirth, a renewal, and that's, you know, where we get that born again experience of now that we have a new life with Christ, and that can only happen through the power of the Holy Spirit in us. I like that. And then we have Galatians 3, the Holy Spirit is nothing more than a gift. 3:5, and it says, does God give you his Spirit and work miracles among you because you observe the law or because you believe what you heard? The Holy Spirit is a gift. And, you know, to receive a gift, all you have to do is put your hands out and say, thank you, Lord. And hold that gift close. The Holy Spirit. And then it's amazing what can happen. And some of the, you know, obviously, you know, testimonies that you, each and every one of you have about God working in your lives, those are the perfect, those are nice examples. I like that. But the thing is that there's going to be new testimonies that you're going to have today, and you're going to have new testimonies tomorrow about God doing miracles in your life. Why? Because of his Spirit being able to work in you. This next verse I've got is 1 John 5, 6 through 8. I wasn't originally going to put this in. I changed my mind. It's just as kind of as we were starting service and everything, and I wanted to put this in. Because it really talks about the unifying of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and how important that is. It says, this is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. He did not come by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. For there are three that testify, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And the three are in agreement. We're talking about the Holy Spirit, we're talking about God the Father, and we're talking about God the Son, Jesus. That if they're all in agreement and as one, and our walk with God needs to be the same, that he's allowed us into him to be able to experience that. And sometimes we have these unbelievable and unforgettable moments where we just experience God. And I'm going to tell you that the only way that you can experience God that way is because of the Spirit. The Spirit allows that to happen. I'm going to give you one last scripture verse to explain that, where Stephen is been put on trial in front of the Sadducees and the Pharisees for not following the laws of Moses, and they end up stoning Stephen. But I want to bring up one little scripture verse in there where Stephen gave this huge history of how the Jews completely kept rejecting God and rejected Jesus and rejecting the Spirit's movement. But for Stephen, who is a spirit-filled man, he was able to witness something that not many could see. And the only essence he was able to do it was because of being spirit-filled. Let's look at this. Acts 7, 54 through 56. When they heard this, this was all the leaders and stuff like that, that they were, Stephen had just finished his big historical lesson and explained to them that they were the ones that killed Jesus. He says, when they heard this, they were furious and gnashed their teeth at him. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Look, he said, right? He couldn't even hold it in, right? He's seeing this presence of God and of God the Father and God the Son. And he says, I have seen heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. He can't hold it back. Why? Because he's full of the Spirit, and the Spirit has allowed him to see this at this moment in his life, just before he's being stoned, to give him strength, to allow him to be able to see the joy that's to come and the hope of him being there before the throne. You see, that's all the work of the Holy Spirit. That our sanctifying, that our justifying, that the life that we have is so intertwined with the Holy Spirit that we are nothing without him. This message is just to show you the importance of the Holy Spirit. That if you can allow the Holy Spirit to be released from you and just allow him to do the work, then you'll be able to see the will of God. You'll be able to see, you know, the plans that God has for you. We'll be strengthened. We'll have an inexplicable joy that will be in us, the hope that continues to radiate within us. We'll be led. Our lives will change. We'll have no doubt in terms of that we are God's children. And the desires of the Holy Spirit that points us to Christ for holiness, for righteousness, will be right there in the forefront. That's what God wants for us. How do I know that? Because he sent the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is in you. God himself is in you. Praise God with that. Father, I thank you for this message, and I thank you for all of the scripture that just continue to point to the love that you have for us, that the gifts that you have for us, we just have to accept them. When we have to allow those gifts to work in accordance to your will, that we don't control you, but you control us. Father, if there is someone that's struggling today, if there's someone that is unsure where to go and what to do, Father, I ask that you, again, pour out your Holy Spirit on that individual. Allow the Holy Spirit to intercede for us, to make those prayers, to make your will known to us. And Lord, give us the confidence to be able to just let go and let God. And let him be. Then all we have to do is just hang on. Father, for those individuals that are struggling, I just pray for not an extra blessing, just a solid blessing, you know. Let it be evident. There's a lot of hurts that are out there. There's a lot of disappointments that are there. There's a lot of ambiguity. But there is one that we can trust on. that is always true, that will always take us down the right path. And that is God. I thank you, Father, for your word. And as we pray, through your Son, Jesus. Amen.